Today we're going to be talking about spiritual transactions for victory. Just like in our world that we live in the natural, it costs money, it costs things, it costs us to transact business. We want to go and buy a hot dog, we're going to have to give somebody some money and transact that business. Well, the same is very true in spiritual things as well. To see God's victory and the promises, His promises fulfilled in our life, it requires us to give Him something. There is a transaction that takes place. And I want to show you from the scripture how that is true. Let's take a look at the overview. Jesus gave us all of Himself. He bought us with His blood. In doing so, He purchased every blessing, every promise, and every benefit of the new covenant. Now He asks us, what about you? What are you willing to give to purchase all that He has provided for you? Victory awaits. Remember Joshua, when he became the head of the children of Israel, and God told him, He said, I have given you the land. Now you go and you need to put your foot on it. Every place that you trod, I have given to you. So the same thing is true in our lives, and that is Jesus has provided all these wonderful things for us, all these promises, all these benefits, all these blessings, every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus is ours, but we have to walk in them. And how we walk in them is that as we give our all, as we give our resources to Him, then He fulfills those things. And we'll talk about that as we go through here. So first of all, let's talk about some principles of spiritual commerce. What is purchasing? It's using a resource to acquire something, something that we need or something that we want. So it is our resources, what we have, what is in our possession to give, we give those things in order for us to then acquire what we need or what we want. And we see that all the time, of course, in the physical. You know, like some people say, you know, there ain't no free lunch. And that's because everything requires us to give something. And then once it becomes ours, it is ours. We have it. We own it. We possess it. It is ours. And that is so true in our lives. What I want us to do now is just look at this spiritual principle. I'm going to go through some scriptures. We're not going to look at detail in these scriptures. We'll talk about them more detail later. What I want to do now is just to show you what the scripture says. For example, in Proverbs 23:23, matter of fact, this is the verse that got me thinking about this more. It says, buy truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, buy wisdom and instruction and understanding. So these are things that we can buy, and that's just exactly what that Hebrew word means. It means to buy, to attain, to purchase, to possess. In Proverbs 4:5, it says to get, which is the exact same Hebrew word as buy. So you could say, buy wisdom, get wisdom, and get understanding, buy understanding. And then in verse 7, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get, buy wisdom. And with all your buying, with all your purchasing that you're doing, then also buy understanding. We see it in the New Testament. Remember in Jesus' parables in Matthew 13, he's talking about the guy who was out in a field and he found a treasure in the field. And so it says that he hid it and he went and he sold all that he had so that he then would have the resources to buy that field so that he could then obtain that treasure. We'll talk some more in detail about that in a few minutes. The other one that's in that same passage in verses 45 and 46 talks about the man who was a merchant in pearls, and he found the pearl of great price, the pearl that was the essence of what he had been looking for. So he went and he sold all his other pearls so that he would have then the resources to buy that one great pearl. And of course, Jesus' parable there is that he's doing that because the kingdom of heaven is like a man that does this. The riches of the kingdom are ours, but it costs. In the Old Testament, Jacob bought some land in Genesis 33:19. 500 years later, this was after the 430 years in bondage, after Moses delivered them, after the 40 years in the wilderness, after Joshua took over, and the 7 years that it took to conquer the land. It said then, and that's almost 500 years if you add it all up, it says that then they buried Joseph's bones in that same parcel of land that then was part of their inheritance, part of their descendants. So in this case, he bought it and he possessed it. He owned it. It was his. And it was also then passed down to his descendants who owned it. And Joseph's bones were buried there. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, as Jesus is talking there to the church at Laodicea, and he's telling them that they are lukewarm, and that he's going to spew them out of his mouth. He's told them that you think you're rich. You've got all these riches, whether it be spiritual riches or physical riches, whatever they had. They were complacent in their riches. We have need of nothing. And Jesus says, but you don't realize that you're miserable and poor and blind and naked. He says, what you need is to buy from me gold, white raiment, and eye salve. So again, the idea of purchasing, of buying. So as we then get into this some more and develop this some more, I want us to think about what is it? What is it spiritually that we have? What possession, what resource do we have that we can then use to purchase, to give in order to see the blessings, the promises, and the benefits that are ours in Christ Jesus come to us? Well, let's think about that. Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. So there's one right there, love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And in Mark, I believe it's chapter 12, he says, and with all thy strength, so the body. So we have that. We have our heart, our soul, our mind, our body. Another thing that we can think about is our free will. God has given us free will, choice. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, he said, choose this day. Do you want blessing or cursing? Do you want life or death? Choose this day. So we have free will to choose that we can readily give and give up to get these things. time. We all have time. Time has been given to us. Another one is our words. The words that we speak are things that we can sow and things that we can give as we speak the right thing. That includes our worship. We can give our worship to God. Wealth is another thing that we have. God has given us the power to get wealth. We can use that wealth to, for the kingdom, use that wealth as a resource to achieve blessings and promises and benefits. And now one might say you can give your spirit. Now, if you're not a Christian, that's true. You can give yourself, give your spirit to God. And God, when he inhabits us, inhabits our spirit and regenerates our spirit. So in essence, you can't give your spirit to the Lord once you're a Christian because you have already been bought with a price. Jesus gave himself, bought you. And what that in particular means is your spirit. So we have these things that we can give in exchange. And I want us to then go through some other scriptures and some other ideas that will help us understand how this process works. First, I'm going to start with, in part B there, by wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to be wise. As I've continued to study the word about wisdom and what wisdom is, I've kind of come to some conclusions that are different than what I've thought in the past. I always used to think that wisdom was the highest level. There's understanding and knowledge and instruction and all these things that that you get those things and you build it up to the point where you now have wisdom. Well, I've kind of changed my view on that because I think what wisdom is actually the Word of God. And it says that in several places in the Scripture. Wisdom is the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 2, it says that God, out of his mouth, gives wisdom. So what God speaks, the word that he has given, the inspired Word of God, is wisdom. But what makes it applicable to our lives is knowledge and understanding and instruction and those kind of things. Let me give you an example. Nikita Khrushchev, when he came to America, you know, one of his attributes that he had or things that he had done was he had memorized the entire New Testament. So he knew wisdom, but yet he was a very unwise man. So what makes a person wise is not wisdom. It's not just knowing what the Word of God says, but the application of wisdom through knowledge, instruction, and understanding. So as you spend time, there's a commodity to give. As you give your time to the Word, as you give your mind to the Word, so that you are studying it and looking and comparing Scripture with Scripture and letting then the Holy Spirit give wisdom and revelation to you in your spirit, then that is the thing that makes you wise, which leads to understanding righteousness, judgment, and equity, every good path. Now, what you'll find as you study the word is those words actually refer to what God's throne is built upon. So what you're actually doing as you learn the Word of God, as you learn what wisdom is, and you learn how to apply it to your life, that's what makes you wise, a wise man, knows how to apply wisdom to his life, then you begin to understand God and who he is. As you seek after the Word of God, to know the Word, you will begin to know and understand the author of the Word of God, the wisdom that is in the Word of God. See, when God speaks, he is speaking wisdom, but you don't see it on the surface all the time. It's not always that obvious, but as you dig into the Word of God and to understand it, then you begin to understand wisdom and you begin to understand God. So let's look at these scriptures here. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Not only is God's the foundation of God's throne righteousness and judgment, which, by the way, judgment is a divine decree that is righteous. So that's why it's a judgment. It's a divine judgment. It's showing what is right and what is wrong. It's a divine judgment on a particular issue or situation. So righteousness, judgment, is the foundation of God's throne, and from him flows mercy and truth. So, buy from him truth. Know his word. So, give your time, give your mind, give yourself to the word to understand truth. And sell it not. Do not in any way use that to dispel truth in your life and move towards away from the word of God towards what is a lie, what is not truth. Also, by wisdom and instruction and understanding. So we've already kind of talked about that a little bit. Proverbs 4:5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the word of my mouth. So from God's mouth comes wisdom. So we are to buy, purchase wisdom. Again, we've been talking about that. It's kind of redundant here, but I want you to see it. Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Getting wisdom, getting the word of God, not just getting it, but then understanding it. So get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Understand what the word says. So as we give our time, give our mind, give ourselves to believing and walking in understanding the Word of God, then it gives us a basis for faith, for understanding. I know who God is. I know what he can do. I know what his Word says. And because of that, I can stand on it by faith. And we then get the blessings from it. Proverbs 2, verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We've already talked about that. Proverbs 2:9. Then thou shalt understand righteousness, judgment, and equity. Again, these things are the foundation of God's throne. So study to show thyself approved unto God. That's found in 2 Timothy 2:15. Again, giving ourselves our mind, our time to studying the Word of God. Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Again, another transaction, and of course this is one that we've been focusing on for a while now, Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God. Again, time, effort, our mind, our heart, our soul towards seeking God and his righteousness. What is he like? How does he operate in righteousness? Going on to part C, give all of yourself to gain all of him. These are the words of Jesus. In the four Gospels, there are six times when Jesus talks about that if we need to lose ourselves, lose our life in order to gain his life. And so I wanted us to look at those specifically. Now, again, it's six times in four Gospels. It's a repetition both by Jesus, but then a repetition from the Word of God in that it's used so many times. So we need to pay close attention to these words. And again, as we go through this, you're going to see the transaction that takes place as we give of ourselves, our heart, soul, mind, our love, our words, our wealth, our bodies to him. Matthew 10, 37 through 39. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I want you to see that phrase, is not worthy. So he has called us to love him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that means that that love is first. You can't love your father, mother, son, or daughter, because in doing so, Jesus says, you are not worthy of me. It doesn't come up to the level that he has done for us. So it's not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So one here is not taking up the cross. Again, time, a heart, soul, these things that we have that we can give to the Lord. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He's that is holding on to his life, holding on to the things that he wants, the things that he has, then you end up losing it. But he that loses his life, makes that transaction, gives heart, soul, mind, body, time, words, worship, wealth, love, all these things. He who loses his life for his sake shall find it. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. So basically the same kind of thing, not holding back, but giving himself wholly, and take up his cross. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. So the other one that we just looked at, it says, he who finds his life shall lose it. Here it's he who saves his life will lose it. And whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited? Again, there's a transaction that's gone here. What is a man profit? If he shall gain the whole world. So he is giving himself for another commodity, which is for the world, for the things that he wants, for the blessings of this world, and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And what Jesus is saying here is, give yourself to me, exchange with me, and you will find your life. And when he had called, going on to Mark chapter 8, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake and the Gospels. That's the thing I wanted you to see that's different in this particular one. Who loses his life for my sake, for Jesus and the Gospels, the proclamation of his word, proclamation of what he has done, the same shall save it. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Going on to Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. There's another key thing. And follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? I want you to see that. Paul said, I buffet my body, lest after I have preached to others. In other words, he brings himself under control so that he can give himself fully to the Lord. He says, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Going on to Luke 14, 26 through 33. If any man come after me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, I want you to contrast that with the first one we looked at in Matthew 10. The person that loves his father or mother is not worthy of me. Here it says, cannot be my disciple. Cannot put himself in a position of being trained by me, of being discipled by me, of gaining the things that I can give him if he's not willing to give his love to me above those of his family. Cannot be my disciple. And whosoever shall not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Again, in contrast, not worthy of me or be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down and counts the cost? Very important what Jesus is saying here to us. Count the cost. Take a look at your resources, the ones that we've been talking about. Take a look at your resources and say, what am I willing to give to build the life that Jesus has called me to build? You need to look at that and say, am I willing to give it all? Am I willing to take all the chips on the table and push them to the center, no holding back? Am I willing to give all that I am? Am I willing to let go of every hurt, every hindrance, everything that is holding me back? Am I willing to give it all to Jesus? Because in order to build the life that he wants for us, especially in these last days, let's put it in context of what we've been talking about with Jesus coming. If we don't give our all, we can't build what we want, that ark of anointing in our lives, that relationship with God that results in the glorious church. Everything needs to be laid on the table for Jesus. Going on in there. And counts the cost. He's going to build. He first needs to sit down and count the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it. Well, I can tell you this. We have, as we give ourselves fully to the Lord, we have sufficient to be able to finish what God has said. That's why I try to emphasize every blessing, every promise, every benefit of this new covenant is for one purpose, so that we can be all that he has called us to be. To be all that he has called us to be. He has taken away sin. The power of sin has been broken. He has taken away the power of the evil one. Satan was stripped of his power. And we have that power to take authority over Satan and all his all the things that he tries to do to us, every lie he tries to tell us, every deceit that he brings into our life, we can overcome that. We have sufficient to be able to build our life the way that God, the way that Jesus has called us to fill. Going on, verse 29, less happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it, the unfinished work, begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish it. So our giving of ourselves to the Lord is not just a matter of a one-time thing. Every day takes up his cross daily. Every day we need to be making the transaction. Every day giving ourselves, every day being that living sacrifice that we are called to be. To build, in this case, we're talking about building the tower, the illustration that Jesus is using here. The construction time takes time. And the construction, as is being done, there's constantly a bill that needs to be paid. You need to pay the construction people. You need to pay for the materials. And so the bills keep coming due. And as the bills keep coming due, they need to be paid. And so as we are building our life around God, as we have given our all to him, every day, every time, there's things that need to be done. There's new things that need to be paid as we are building the life. As he's showing us and working in us and teaching us, there are things that need to be done, need to be paid. All right, verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with his 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Again, do we have the resources to be able to do it? Yes. He says he goes and gets counsel. Well, we get counsel from the Lord. Lord, can I do this? Yes, you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you as we give ourselves to him. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, forsaketh not all that he has is another way of saying makes the transaction to give everything to Jesus. Then you cannot be my disciple. Basically, what we're talking about here is a difference between being just a follower of Jesus and being a disciple. Following him as Jesus or following him as our Lord, as Christ. And we've talked about this before, the importance of following him as Christ. Another way you may want to look at it is in terms of the five baptisms. We've been baptized into water, baptized into Jesus, that's just coming to him. Baptized the Holy Spirit, baptized into Christ so that he becomes our Lord, and then the baptism with fire. So what we are really talking about here is the baptism of Jesus as Lord and the baptism of fire, the burning away of everything that is not godly, so that we can be all that God has called us to be. Baptism of fire. Let's go on now to John on the next page. John chapter 12, 24 through 26. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. And that is where we need to be at. Are we willing to die? In other words, to give all that we are, die to ourselves, to give all that we are to Jesus. If not, we're not going to get the benefits. But if we do die, if we give it all to the Lord, it brings forth much fruit, much benefit. In other words, it brings forth the blessings, the promises, and the benefits that we've been talking about. He that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, he has died and given all that he has to serve Jesus. Let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Amen. So we are giving of ourselves wholly to Jesus. Now remember, these are the words of Jesus that we have been reading. These are the words of Jesus that he is telling us what we need to be doing, especially in these last days, giving all that we are. And as we work with our matrix, it drives us, it encourages us, it leads us to be giving more and more and more to him. Going on, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, just some more scriptures here on the transaction that needs to take place as we give everything we are to the Lord. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold, of silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some dishonor. If any man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. Thoroughly furnished is another way of saying meet. Thoroughly furnished for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. So sometimes what we're doing is not just giving all that we are, but letting go of everything that is hindering us from being all that God has called us to be. So there are times of letting go, not just giving to buy, but letting go to be able to then use the resources that we have to give to the Lord so that we can be thoroughly furnished for the master's use. Going on, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. I'm going to skip down to verse 25. In meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves. Again, we're talking about hindrances. If peradventure God gives them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. The evil one's going to be constantly trying to fight us as we give more and more. He doesn't like that. And so we need to continue to give ourselves and to recognize his deceptions and his hindrances and let those things go so that we can be all that God has called us to be and be set free from the evil one. In Matthew 13, we looked at that a little bit ago about the buyer of the land and of the pearl. Let's look at that a little bit more closely. Matthew chapter 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. So the kingdom of heaven is like this treasure. It's riches. It's a benefit for us. And it is hid in a field, in which when a man hath found, he hides it. And for joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So when we see all that Jesus has provided for us, again, I'm going to say it again, all these blessings, all these promises, all these benefits of the new covenant that are all ours, when we see this treasure, what are we willing to do to be able to sell all that we have so that we have the resources? That we have all the resources to then buy, to exchange, to get all of what Jesus has promised us. Same thing with the next one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. So he's looking for good things, who, when he has found the one pearl of great price, it's like the mother of all pearls, the king of all pearls, the queen of all pearls, however you want to say it, the best of the best one that he has ever seen or ever heard about, that when he has found it, he went out and he sold all that he had. Remember, he was one that was a merchant of goodly pearls, so he probably had a bunch of pearls, but he sold them all because he wanted the best. And that's where we need to be, to sell and to give all that we are, our heart, soul, mind, our bodies, every part of us, our wealth, everything that we have, our words, our worship. These are all things that as we give them to the Lord, our love, as we give these things to the Lord, then we attain that pearl of great price, the kingdom of God and all its benefits in our lives. Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of the water by the word. Again, these are things that are hindrances that need to be cleansed and removed from our lives so that we can then, going on to verse 27, that he might present it, the church, us, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blemish, so that every hindrance to presenting ourselves fully to him, to being all that he has called us to be, gets removed from our lives so that we can be the glorious church. Let's look now at that scripture in Revelation chapter 3 from the church at Laodicea. I'm going to start in verse 15. I know thy works, and that thou art neither hot or cold. I would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you have said, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. So here is a person. Now, this could be taken either physically, in the sense that they were physically rich. Laodicea was known as a rich place because it did a lot of commerce there, so there were riches. So it could be taken literally that these people, because God had, quote, blessed them financially, that they felt good about themselves, they felt good about where they were at spiritually, because sometimes you can be deceived in thinking, because I've got all these blessings and everything is easy in my life, in the natural, that we're doing good. Or you could take this spiritually, that they thought, oh, we're really doing good spiritually. We're rich in the things of God. But Jesus, remember, this is Jesus speaking here. Jesus says to them, and you know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Doesn't sound like they've got all these riches and have need of nothing. No, they have great need. Don't let yourself be deceived. We need all that God has for us. We need Jesus. And we can't just assume. We don't want to be in that place. Let me put it this way. We don't want to be in that place of complacency, thinking we've got it. We need to keep seeking the kingdom of God. And that's what that word there in Matthew is, not just seek the kingdom. It's keep seeking the kingdom of God. And Jesus goes on, I counsel thee. I'm giving you instruction on what you can do to get out of this situation. I counsel you. I'm giving instruction. Listen to what I have to say, Jesus is saying here. Buy of me gold tried by the fire, the true riches of the kingdom. Buy from me gold tried by fire, that you might be rich, really rich, rich in the things of God. So he's saying, make a transaction, let go of those other things, and make the transaction to give yourself to buy gold, what's really valuable in the kingdom of God, that you might be rich, and white raiment. White raiment, this is talking about our righteousness in Christ. Get rid of the filthy rags of unrighteousness and put on the white raiment of righteousness, that you might be clothed and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve. So don't be blinded. Anoint yourself. And blindness means spiritually blind, unable to see. Anoint yourself with eye salve so that you would be able to see the reality of where you are at and where you need to be. We constantly need to be evaluating, where am I at? Where do I need to be? What has God called me to do? What has God called me to be? And keep moving in those directions. Sell all that you are to buy all that he has for you, every promise, every blessing, every benefit. I think we've heard that a few places before. So as we look at this list here, these are hindrances to us giving our all. We need to cast all of these onto the Lord. Jesus said, talking about cares of this world, he said to lay our cares upon him because he cares for us. And it's true in every one of these things. Are there regrets, things that you did or didn't do? The blood covers every failing, every mistake, every missed opportunity. Don't live in regret. Accept his forgiveness. Accept forgiveness for yourself and for whatever that situation is. God is not done with you yet. Every hurt and the associated unforgiveness, let it go. Both for in forgiving others and forgiving yourself as well. You are forgiven. grief and sorrow and loss. Jesus suffered and died for it. Isaiah 53 says that Jesus bore in his body sorrow, grief. Those words can also be translated sickness, disease, infirmity, pains. Then it goes on and it says, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Chastisement of our peace, that which comes against us to rebuke peace in our lives. Well, grief and sorrow and loss can do that. What is it that is keeping you from being in peace, in walking? And remember, that's the peace of shalom, well-being in every area of our life, nothing missing, nothing broken. It says that he bore that in himself for us. And I tell you what, this has been something that the Lord's been ministering to me about, even as I was preparing this. After the loss of Penny, it's been really challenging. I think about her. I have had this pain in the pit of my stomach of, you know, it's just like it just doesn't go away because I miss her. And I, you know, think about her, and I see pictures of her, and I come across things in the house and different things. I mean, when Penny and I first got married, and we were making spaghetti, and so I was putting the noodles in the pot. So I did what I always had done, and that is I took the noodles, the spaghetti noodles, and I broke them in half so they would fit in the pot. And Penny said, oh, what are you doing? You can't do that. No, they have to be whole. It's like, okay. So for the rest of our married life, I always, you know, the spaghetti always had to be whole. And he just dealt with it and, you know, worked with it to get it all down in the pot, right? So the other day, I was making spaghetti. And so I was starting to do the noodles, got the water going, and I picked up the noodles, and I said, I'm not supposed to break these. And it just reminded me of Penny, and, you know, just brought some of those same thoughts. Well, I said, I looked up, and I said, sorry, Penny. I broke the spaghetti. Anyway, what the Lord showed me with some of these things is that I have let the evil one keep bringing thoughts. Now, I'm not saying I should completely forget about her. That's ridiculous. She is part of me, and I'm going to miss her. But the thoughts that he brings at different times keeps me from doing what I need to be doing. So if you have someone from your life that has died, you feel that loss and that sorrow, the grief, don't let the evil one use that. And I found that as I cast down imaginations and bring every thought captive and command those demons to get out of my life, that I have found there a new sense of freedom and some joy coming back, because it's been really tough these last 9 months. So don't let these things hinder you giving your all to the Lord. Pride. Pride is another area. Kind of like what we talked about with the church at Laodicea. But the scripture tells us that we are to humble ourselves. In giving ourselves to the Lord, it really is a humbling. We are being meek before him. We are being subservient to him. So humble yourself. And remember, the scripture always talks about that we are responsible for humbling ourselves. It's always humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. It's never God's going to humble you. No, it's humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. We need to give ourselves wholly to him, humbling ourselves under God, under his word, and before others, so that humility and meekness characterize our lives, because in doing so, it shows the Lord that we are more available to him to give us the true riches of the kingdom. Complacency, we talked about that. Let go of our self-centeredness and seek God. Sin, mentioned earlier, the power of sin has been broken. Worries and cares, cast them on him who cares for you. Cast them on all on him who cares for you. That's from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse, not sure what verse it is. You can find it. 7, I think it is. Worries, okay, I already talked about that. So all of you, give yourself as a living sacrifice. Again, your heart, soul, mind, and body. Your free will, your time, your words, your wealth, and your love. Those are the things that you have that you can exchange for every blessing, benefit, and blessing that you have in Christ Jesus. What I'd like us to do now is I'm going to pray for you first, and then I want us to sing the song, I Surrender All. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, all those who are listening to this today and will listen to it in the future. And in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you would minister to them your word, that you would minister to them by your Spirit so they can get rid of these hindrances that would keep them from giving their all to you. I pray, Father, you minister to them in the deepest part of their hearts, that they would surrender these things to you so that regret, hurt, offense, griefs and sorrows, fear, pride, complacency, sin struggles in their lives, worries and cares, that they could relinquish them to you so that they can then give all of their heart, soul, mind, body, their free will, their time, their words, their wealth, all that they have. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. By your Spirit, Father, pour out on them right now in Jesus' name. So let's just follow this up with singing, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Matthew. I think that's fascinating when someone gets into the Word enough to recognize, oh, I've seen this passage before. Oh, I've seen this one before. And he's found six that are the same thing that Jesus said through four of the disciples in different ways, and yet it's looking at it through a prism and seeing all the different angles, but the key to the words. And that's a wonderful study and a wonderful thing, because Jesus certainly gave his all for us. Surely we can give our all for him. He deserves that. And we benefit when we do. It's when we hold back that things are not always as they should be. But when we let go of everything and give it all to Jesus, and he can give us all to us. I've always liked to say that we need to get rid of the junk to make room for more of Jesus. It isn't just, Jesus, give me more of you. Because he can't if we're full up with other stuff. But as we move out some of these things that have been hindering us, then he has room to fill up those spaces with his presence and his power and his glory. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Matthew. So let's take this time now and go into communion. And we'll take a moment to do a USP, and then we'll begin. Oh, Lord, you are so wonderful. Jesus, you are so wonderful. Abba, Daddy, beyond our words, beyond our comprehension, we thank you so much for all that you are, and that you've given all that you are to us. How special that we get to receive of your body and your blood as many times as we want, as often as we want. You put no restrictions on it. We can receive it one time a day, 2 times, 10, 30 times, 50 times a day if we so choose. No limits. It's all up to us how much we want of you. And I believe in all of our heart of hearts, we all want all of you. That's why we're here, Lord, to receive from you all that you are and all that you have for us. And so on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our Jehovah Rapha, the God, our healer. You took those 39 stripes for us. You paid the price. You took the pain so we would not have to, so we could walk free of all of that junk that Satan would try to put on us. It does not belong to us. Jesus paid the price. So we buy it back through our great exchange by receiving what Jesus has paid for. And he paid it. It belongs to us. Now we just have to receive it. And through communion, through the great exchange, is one marvelous way that we can receive the benefits of what Jesus has paid for. Such a mighty price for us. So now, in this great exchange, we partake of the broken body of Jesus. We take it into our broken bodies and receive the healing, the wholeness, the restoration, the rejuvenation that Jesus paid that great price for us. We receive it, Lord. We receive healing from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Every cell, every fiber, every organ, every system, every function of our bodies, inside, outside, we receive, for we know you've paid all of it. The full, complete price has been paid. And we're not going to choose to receive only for the worst thing, but for all, all challenges because none of them belong to us. None of them. Not one. You've already paid for all of them, Jesus, so now we receive healing, wholeness, and restoration for every part of our bodies as we partake together now in the name of Jesus and in great thanksgiving unto our Jesus. And in that same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many." But we are among the many. For we have received Jesus as our Savior. We receive him as Lord. We receive him as healer. We receive him as protector, provider. All that we need is in Jesus, is in this blood, pure, powerful, holy blood. It has never lost its power and never will. And it is available to us, washing us clean, making us righteous, right standing in God's sight, where he can look with love upon each one of us and receive us to himself. We thank you, Lord God, for sending Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing, able, and available to pay that price that we could not pay. We receive it, Lord, and we give you praise, thanksgiving, and glory as we now partake together of your precious shed blood, shed for us. We receive, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Awesome. Our God is awesome. And what have we just said? In taking communion, we've said that he is our healer, our Jehovah Rapha. So that means that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And Isaiah, it was spoken as a prophecy. And in Peter's looking back at the cross saying, "It's a done deal. It belongs to us now. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus." Hallelujah. So let's do 20 communions. Well, that would be pretty cool. 20 affirmations of the communion word that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Ready? We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How wonderful. How awesome. It belongs to us now.